Warm welcome to you all this morning. And just open by saying, I don't know if for those of you who were here last week, if you recall a comment I made almost in passing with regard to the place of the Word in our lives, as well as, or in contrast to, the place of doctrine, and how that doctrine or the teachings of the church are suited to the understanding and building the understanding. But how that the Word is for the heart. And that because of that, it needs to be approached differently. It needs to be approached with a different affection. It needs to be approached in order or with a view to allowing the Lord to really speak to us. Because the Word is about life. And the stories of the Word describe the states of life as we experience them in our daily lives. And it is this view that we need to bring to the Word as we consider it and see how it reflects our life. What does it say about what we are having to deal with? And what does it say about how to overcome those things? So today we come to the Word. We're going to be looking at the story which has a situation of the disciples being out in the midst of the lake and Jesus coming to them walking on the water. And we're going to see that this very much has to do with our experience of life and our experience of the Lord in life. Let us pray. So our first reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark. And we're reading from the New Testament first and followed by a psalm from obviously the book of Psalms. And just want you to reflect on what's happening with regard to the disciples in Mark's Gospel and then think about the experience that is being described there in the Psalms. Immediately he made his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. Now when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and he was alone on the land. Then he saw them straining at rowing, for the wind was against them. Now about the fourth watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea, and would have passed them by. And when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and cried out, for they saw him and were troubled. But immediately he talked with them, and said to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." Then he went up into the boat to them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure, and marvelled, for they had not understood about the loaves, because their heart was hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret, and anchored there. And when they came out of the boat, immediately the people recognized him, ran through the whole surrounding region, and began to carry about on beds those who were sick, to wherever they heard he was. Whenever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. Now reading Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. We have a reading this morning from the Heavenly Doctrines from the work Conjugal Love, paragraph 444. We have been so created that everything we intend and think and do seems to us to be in ourselves. Without this appearance, we would not be human since we could not accept, hold, or seem to possess anything of the good or true or of love and wisdom. Because without this seemingly lifelike appearance, we could have no union with God and therefore no eternal life. But if we use this appearance to adopt the belief that we do intend and think and do what is good on our own and not from the Lord, though in all appearance it is on our own, then we turn the good into evil within ourselves and make the origin of evil within ourselves. Only God is good, and there is nothing intrinsically good except from God. So anyone who focuses on God and wants to be led by God is involved in the good. And anyone who turns away from God and wants to be led by self is not involved in the good. For the good that such an individual does is either for the sake of self or for worldly ends. So it is either for credit or simply imitative or hypocritical. We can see from this that humanity itself is the source of evil. Not that this source was inherent in humanity from creation, but that human beings adopted it by turning away from God towards themselves. For this morning's message is making love the center. Making love the very center of our lives, individually and as a body of people. This is the Lord's supreme desire, that love rules over all things by means of wisdom. Not that knowledge and wisdom are placed in the first place, but that these things, knowledge, is there to support love in order that wisdom might be a defining characteristic of the Lord's church. We looked at the disciples last week and how they struggled with the need that presented itself. The need of this massive crowd, 5,000 men and who knows how many women and children. And you'll recall that the disciples, they just wanted it to go away. Send them away, Lord. Send them to get their own bread. And we remember Jesus' response was, what have you got? You know, what have you got? What can you give? Because this is the essence and core of love. It's about being able to give. It's about giving of ourselves, of what the Lord has done in our lives. And if we are giving out of that, then the needs, great as they are, no longer are able to overwhelm us. We also remember that this attitude of the disciples arose after they had been sent out by the Lord, after they had been involved in casting out demons, of healing those that came to them with all manner of disease and illness, sicknesses. And we get a hint that what was starting to happen here was that the disciples were starting to think that this ability was something that they possessed of themselves. And that attitude shuts love out. Love can no longer enter in, because love needs truth through which it can work. And one of the key truths through which love is able to operate is that our life is not our own. We are mere recipients of life. But the appearance is that life is our own. And the more we have that integrated, that truth integrated into our being, scary as it is, this idea that we don't possess life of ourselves, the more we have it integrated into our being, the more complete we become, the more human we become, because we begin to align ourselves with the universal direction of life, of love, of the Lord's influx into the human being, into the soul, and out from there into our mind. And when love can operate in our mind, it can gather together the truths that are needed to meet the presenting need. There is nothing too great for the Lord to meet in terms of need. But this taking life to ourselves, or wanting to possess what is of the Lord, leads to a swing in our mental states towards placing what we think as being more important than how we are towards others. Our life starts to become defined in terms of truth rather than in terms of love. And when that starts to happen, the thought processes and patterns become rigid and are unable to meet the need. And as the needs get greater, we find ourselves rowing against the wind. We're out of sync with the universal life process of the Lord's love flowing in. We are going against it. And we're going to see today how this process is outlined here in the disciples being on the water and Jesus coming to them. Because of our tendency to be stuck in patterns of thinking and become inflexible in those in terms of our judgments of how the world works and what it's all about, we constantly experience this need to reevaluate our relationships and our attitude to life. And it's this process that goes on. First of all, we go about leading our life, or we're in a relationship, and things are going really well. We're in a sphere of stability. But then something isn't quite right, and we find we end up being in conflict, either with a person or with a situation, and we find that we can't quite get that state of stability back. Things aren't going so well. And in that state, what we find is that we become separated from life or from the other person. And this separateness, this need for separation, we see illustrated here in the story of Jesus having to send the disciples away. Disciples, you remember, did not understand the loaves, that is, that all good comes from the Lord, because their hearts were hardened. They were hardened to the process of love operating in their life. And it's interesting that if you go to John's Gospel, we're given a bit more insight as to what's going on in that situation. Because with this great miracle occurring, the people came and they wanted to take Jesus and they wanted to make him king. Wanted to make him a king over them, a worldly king. A king that would oust the Roman Empire from the boundaries of Israel. And this played right into the disciples' desire for power and control. Their hearts were hardened. This is what is going on. These lower base desires rise up and they contaminate even spiritual principles. And because they do that, there is a need for a separating out so that things can then be reordered and restructured and put back together. And this is why we see the Lord throughout the gospel moving from place to place, and wherever he goes, there's this gathering. There's this gathering, there's this mass of people that just gather around him. And he has his disciples around him as well. And then there comes a dispersion. It's a common pattern. And then there's a regathering. And when you think about life, that is what life is like. That is what our relationships are like. We have periods of stability. We have periods of conflict where we have to adjust, periods of chaos, not feeling secure. And then we have a reorganization, reestablishment of boundaries, and we move on. That is the experience of life, and that's what's being illustrated here. Jesus sends the disciples off, and then he disperses the crowd. So there is a separating out of things in preparation for a pulling back together. And in that pulling back together, there is an advance, a greater capacity to love in appropriate ways. That's what's going on here. So we see the separating out by the Lord, and then we see the struggle illustrated by the disciples being in the boat. You see, love constantly works to fashion our thinking in a way that is conducive to us being able to love more appropriately. And we go for a time and that's fine, things are comfortable. But then we get to a point in our development where our thinking can no longer hold what love is wanting to do. So it has to break it up, break our thinking up, and then reconstitute it. And so if you think about that operation of the deeper things of love in our being, this is what is represented by Jesus. Jesus is love, goodness and truth flowing into the deepest recesses of our being. And that love rises up and is looking for principles that it can use to further itself. And these are what are represented by the disciples. But where worldly interests contaminate that, then there is this apparent separation. Of course, the Lord never separates from us. But the appearance from our side, because of the hardness of our heart, is that he is further from us and we become more embroiled in the things of the world as opposed to the things of the Spirit. And it is a necessary process. In the Greek, when Jesus sends these disciples out in the boat, it says it necessitates him. There is a real power and force in the Greek wording. It is absolutely necessary that this occurs. And so, where we're unwilling to give up our view of life, where it's hindering us, what the Lord does is he says, fine, you're welcome to hold that view if you want. And we head out with that view on the sea of life. And what happens is that we find ourselves rowing against the wind. Now, the word wind and spirit are the same word in the Greek. We're rowing against the spirit. We're rowing against where love wants to take us. And we do that because of our self-centered nature. Self-centeredness brings disruption and separation. And that is why we see the separation between the Lord and his disciples. But then we see the Lord, he comes across the water to the disciples, and there is a reconciliation. How does this occur? Well, love is always in control of the process. And no matter how bad things get or appear to be on the surface, love is guiding all things. The divine providence is in the minutest things of life, guiding and directing. Directing everybody, if possible, to the experience of heavenly love and joy in their life. And that is what is going on here. You'll notice that the Lord was in the mountain. Love is the higher thing. And the Lord could see what was going on as far as the disciples were concerned. The Lord sees all things. And even when we are struggling in life, the Lord sees it. But He won't interfere until we are ready to receive Him. As far as the disciples were concerned, they are in darkness. They head out as evening falls, and it is now the fourth watch. It's between 3 and 6 a.m., sometime between that period in the morning. And they're out on this lake. They had to travel 6 miles. So here we have them, like they've been rowing for probably something like 9 hours. And they haven't even got halfway. They're really, really struggling. And it's like us in life. The Lord allows us to go our own way. And we find that where we have shut Him out, disruption, trouble, difficulties arise. And life becomes difficult. But He sees us. He knows our struggle. He's in the midst of it. And as we start to come to the end of ourselves, He comes on the water. He walks, He treads across the water. That troubled water that is our life, the Lord begins to come to us. But we see that it's said that the Lord is going to pass them by. And the disciples cry out. And we see there that there is a sense of love is going to pass us by. What is real is going to pass us by. And there's this cry for what is real. And as that cry comes, the Lord speaks into the situation. And He says, "Take courage, it is I. Do not fear." In fact, what the Greek says is, "Take courage, I am, do not fear." And the word, "I am," that name is a name of God. It is the name of Jehovah. And it has to do, whenever that name occurs in the word, it always has reference to love. And what Jesus is effectively saying here, have courage. Love is what is real. And you have the disciples struggling in their boat, which is their understanding of things. And the Lord saying, "Look, that is not real. Love is real. That is what you need to have at the center of your life." Ideas are important, but they're only important to the degree that they can support the operation of love. And so the Lord declares Himself to be love itself. But it's still a phantom for them. He still appears as a ghost. And how often it is that when we're embroiled in those outer things of life, the things of the Spirit no longer seem to be that real. They're vague. We struggle to see how they can come into our situation. But because they have come to the end of their own efforts, they are open to receiving the Lord. And what the Greek says is that He steps up into the boat. The Lord is elevated up into the midst of our understanding. That boat, the thing we navigate through life within, the ideas we hold. And the Lord enters into that. And when He is in the boat, the struggle ceases. The wind dies down. There is a breaking, and love has been grounded once again within our life. And we find that the disciples, they don't end up in Bethsaida. They end up in Gennesaret. So whereas the Lord had said, go to Bethsaida, they actually end up being anchored or grounded in Gennesaret. Of course, when the Lord sent them out, Bethsaida means house of fish. We spoke about fish last week as being knowledge. But here we see, what has the Lord done? Well, He sent them out to gain the knowledge of life experience. Yeah, let's see if your ideas work. Let's see if your view of the world works. And that is the only way we really do learn. Trying what we believe to be right and coming up against obstacles and having to adjust our thinking. As a church, we need to be able to take those risks as well. We need to try what we believe to be the right thing to do. But if we find that we are not making headway towards the goals and things we set, then we need to go back to the Lord and ask what love would have us do so that we can adjust our thinking and our approach and be more open to being able to meet the needs of others. They arrive at Gennesaret. Gennesaret means Valley of Riches. How rich life becomes when we enter into its flow and are moving with what the Lord wants as opposed to resisting what He wants in our lives. He only wants our happiness. He only wants us to be fulfilled. But we have to be prepared to let go. Let go of our own self-centeredness and become other-centered. And this is what happened when the disciples arrived, when Jesus was in the boat, when He came into the boat. It said that the disciples were amazed. In fact, in the Greek it says they were knocked out of themselves. And so we see that process, difficult as it may be, actually knocks us out of our old ways of thinking and gives us the ability to look at things objectively, because we can only see objectively when we see through the eyes of love. The next thing that happens at Gennesaret is that people come. And this is like us. When we move into functioning out of a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others, we begin to see what the needs are, and then we are able to be used by the Lord to have His goodness spread amongst those who are in need. It also reflects our ability to see our own condition, being able to bring those areas of our life that are sick, that are possessed of evils, that needs sorting out. Once we give up trying to do it on our own and allow the Lord into our life, then we can begin the process of healing toward wholeness. Amen.